Welcome. This is Deets and Deets, a pop culture podcast where we give you the pop culture happenings, the deets that pique our interest,
and the geeks, the music and lyrics that fill up our weeks.
I'm Superstar Agni.
And I'm LRK.
In this episode, we cover the Netflix original horror miniseries Ghoul in Deets,
as well as its music in Geeks.
Okay, Ghoul is another Radhika Apte, I guess, addition to the Netflix lineup. It was made specifically for Netflix.
Yeah, I was watching an interview of Radhika Apte recently because I was wondering, like, how is it that... So apparently this is just the second of the original Indian projects that are on, like, original Netflix items that are produced from India. And so, yeah, it's interesting that she's in both of them. But she was saying in an interview that it happened by coincidence that this... Wait, is this the second or third? Because Love Story also is Netflix original, right?
I wanted to ask you about that. So that wasn't sort of like an international release that just happened to be on Netflix?
No, I think it was specifically put out on Netflix. Oh. Like, it was never in the theaters.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm confused because I saw on, not that it's like, you know, encyclopedically reliable, but I think on Wikipedia somewhere I saw that this is the second Netflix Indian release after Sacred Games. But maybe it's a third. Maybe Lust Stories was first. Because I think that came out before Sacred Games, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to look this up. Lust Stories. So Lust Stories is distributed by Netflix. Let's see what the difference is with what they say about Ghoul. Netflix acquired the production of Ghoul in February 2018. So maybe that's what they mean. Second Netflix production as opposed to just distribution. But anyway, so she was saying it was by coincidence, like it wasn't like Netflix was involved from the start in Ghoul. They were for Sacred Games though. But I think for Ghoul as well as Lust Stories, Netflix happened to come into the picture and happened to be the right platform.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder what it is about Radhika Apte that is so palatable to the Netflix audience, apparently.
Yeah.
And to whoever is making these decisions on behalf of Netflix as far as what content from India to put out in this market.
Yeah, there was a an article, I can't find it now, but yeah, I mean, we're not the only ones who have noticed that, you know, her face is just all over Netflix.
Yeah, I think that was, I don't know if it was trending necessarily, but it was on Twitter a lot, like maybe a few weeks ago, I think, when it was first announced that Ghoul was, like, that there was this Ghoul project and she was in it. And some people were like, there's too much Radhika Apte. And then some people were like, there's no such thing as too much Radhika Apte.
Yeah.
So she seems to be pretty polarizing. Like, people either, like, you know, love seeing her or they're like, enough of her. So what do you think? How do you feel about Radhika Apte?
Initially, I was pretty indifferent. But now, after seeing her in various movies, I get it. I don't know. I'm a fan. I enjoy seeing her on all these Netflix projects. She has sort of a... I don't know. I think she might be typecast, though, in the sense that she's always, like, distressed. Like, you don't yeah. really see her in any happy roles. She's always, mm-hmm. like, got some... issue, you know, she's upset at somebody or somebody's done something to her and she just has this face, you
know, so. Yeah, she is like stressed or distraught or whatever a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's interesting that she kind of has like, yeah, these three sort of faces that I've seen her in, because on the one hand she's versatile, like she's in lots of different types of projects, like big Bollywood, independent, Netflix, short films, like web series. So she's like all over the place in terms of the types of films and projects. And then also like the and like the scale of stuff, and then also her roles are like kind of different, but then kind of like in these categories. So either it's like the modern, independent, like, you know, taking charge of her life, like city girl, or the like naive village belle. But even in those roles, I feel like she has like an inherent sort of dignity and stuff that she brings to the role. Or like the, I guess both in Sacred Games and Ghoul, she's kind of like the no-nonsense, like determined, ambitious kind of officer or agent or whatever. So yeah, she is kind of, I think I saw some, an article about that recently. Some critic wrote that like, she's kind of one tone, or like it's maybe not her fault, but the writing of her roles seem to be kind of like one tone. Like it's like she just kind of is in these roles. So I think in that way, Lust Stories, her role, like, I mean, that's the first role where I really kind of felt annoyed with her, because before I was like, oh, she seems like an interesting, you know, like she brings something interesting to each of her characters. And then as an actor, I think she makes interesting choices and stuff. But in that movie, I was like, oh my God, she's so irritating. But I guess that's what makes her a good actor, because I think you were supposed to feel that way from that and be like, what's wrong with her? Like, she's just super, just batshit crazy in that, which you don't see that, you know, from her otherwise. She's pretty like composed.
And I'm happy about that, because after seeing that performance, if it had just been like that kind of acting over all of these projects, I would have been like, yes, enough, Radhika. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it was, and then, so the first time I saw Lust Stories, I was just annoyed with her. And I was like, ew, especially because that was the first story of the four. So somehow it's like, why is it starting out like that? But then when I watched it again, I really enjoyed seeing her performance, because it just seemed, especially because I had read that like it was, a lot of it was kind of improvised. And so like just seeing the way she was, I don't know, just the way she was philosophizing and her gestures and her scratching her head and just all these things, like I thought she, it just really seemed like she was having fun with it. So I appreciated that. So I guess coming to Ghoul, so this is a 3-episode miniseries on Netflix. One thing I thought was interesting is, well, I'm just not really like, I guess I don't know my monsters and my folklore that well in general, but I had no idea that Ghoul is like a pre-Islamic or Islamic associated term. I wonder why there isn't like more of Ghoul, like, because that term I've heard, you know, monsters, ghouls, goblins, whatever,
right?
But I feel like there isn't that much of Ghoul, I guess, in pop culture, and so I guess that's where I was just quickly perusing the Ghoul entry on Wikipedia, and I guess that's what they picked up on, is that like there's this, you know, Arab / South Asian associated folklore that could be picked up on. So yeah, I thought that was interesting. What did you think of this series?
Well, I'm curious why it is a miniseries. I mean, they call it, you know, like season one. So my guess is they're coming out with a season two, but it was the length of a regular movie, a regular Bollywood movie, so why not just make it like Ghoul 1, Ghoul 2?
Yeah, I totally agree, because yeah, each of the episodes is like, what, 40 minutes, right? So so yeah, that could, it could have just been one movie. So and it's, yeah, because I think 3 is a pretty awkward number for a series. Like if it was at least, probably at least 4, right? Could have been like a proper miniseries. Probably like 6 is more like it, to like, I don't know, have a, something that you could kind of binge on one after the other. But yeah, 3 is kind of weird. It looks like they did initially intend to make it a movie, but then they, like this was going to be the first of 3 films, but instead they turned this into 3, but it seems there's still going to be like 2 other projects and or 2 other seasons or something.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it, we end up seeing, you know, the justification for it and, you know, get some fulfillment out of that. But just having it broken down into 3 episodes, it's kind of, I don't know. It gets into spoiler territory because it has like the synopsis on there and then the images that go with those episodes. So they kind of give things away a little bit.
Yeah. Also, it was interesting that I just started searching on Twitter, like, what are people saying about Ghoul when we started watching it? And it seems like some, you know, Hindu right-wing people were upset and thought that this was, like, anti-national and whatever. Ironically, because that's kind of what the series brings in, is, like, people being extremist with, like, suppressing dissent, right? And so, like, these people are basically demonstrating that that is what they're about. They're trying to make it seem like this is some, like, left-wing project or something, but it totally isn't. I mean, the premise is about, like, a authoritarian regime where Muslims are marginalized and oppressed and brainwashed and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, as you pointed out when we were watching it, it's not particularly flattering to Muslims either.
Yeah, I mean, no one looks good in this movie.
Especially, not to give away how it ends, but, like, I guess if you watch it the whole way through, like, definitely it's not, like, trying to, like, vindicate anyone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of how to... So are we doing spoilers, slight spoilers, no spoilers?
I'm okay anyway.
Well, I don't know. I wonder if enough people have seen it at this point. I guess we could do slight spoilers.
Okay.
Because actually, I watched the trailer again, and the trailer gives away... I'll say it gives away a reveal, which I think if I had seen the trailer beforehand, I would have... I think it would have spoiled, you know, the tension that I felt when watching the movie. But I don't know. I'll just say this. Like, when you bring the outside elements to teach someone a lesson and have that desire to be right or to defeat the other person, that ends up decimating both sides. And that's what I felt in this movie. To me, that was like the ultimate lesson. But how it ended kind of makes me wonder how season two is going to be. I mean, so it ended on a cliffhanger, I would say that. So now I am wondering, like, all right, how are they going to up the ante on the first one and still make it interesting?
Yeah, I kind of don't think there should be a season two, because I just don't see how, like, where you could really go with it after a certain point. Like, I think the cliffhanger is okay to just kind of leave it that. Like,
yeah, I can see
that. I don't know. What did you think of the fact that it's like a dystopian near future, like that aspect of it?
I thought that was interesting. I'm not really sure, and not that it needs to be explained, you know, everything needs to be explained, but I'm not really sure why. It just, you know, it was just like totalitarian near future, things are bad. Detention centers have sprang up all over the, you know, country. The country is not awesome. I don't know. Just sort of had that preamble before the movie starts. And then you see the person in the jail cell doing the ritual. And it actually tells you, I think I missed it. And we watched it again. We went back, but I watched it one more time. And actually tells you what happens, I guess. So in the first instance, you get a sense of what's happening. I am trying to say this without giving it away, but I guess, you know, for those listening, if you pay attention in the beginning, you won't be I guess so lost. I don't know. I think overall the sort of totalitarian India works, because I think it gives, you know, sort of the characters, like, where their minds are at. Like that one, she was either a captain or a lieutenant, I forget, but
the hater,
the right hand lady, You can see like where she's coming from, like why she's such a hard ass. And I think having that surrounding and the fact that they're in this detention center underground, no daylight.
Yeah.
Everyone's a little bit on edge.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's the first dystopian future thing I've seen from Indian cinema. I'm sure there have been other ones made. But, you know, there's been this whole string of them in Hollywood, including, like, Hunger Games and District 9 and, I don't know, lots of them. But, and I guess Purge also. And it's interesting that this, like, Ghoul is, like, a joint project which involves Blumhouse Productions, which I just, you know, when we were watching the credits, I was like, what? I saw like the Jason Blumhouse Productions or whatever. Right. So, and I just remembered that name in association with both Get Out and Purge. Mm. And apparently Blumhouse Productions like is behind like just hell of movies. Like if you look at the Wikipedia entry under filmography, it's like, I don't know how many there are, like over 100, I think.
Oh wow.
Going from 1995 Kicking and Screaming through like there's announced stuff for 2019, but there's like Halloween, First Purge, Black Klansman, then you know, Get Out, Insidious, I mean just lots of lots of movies. So I guess just lots of different and Paranormal Activity, all of those films.
Oh wow.
So I guess this is like the production house for like horror films, both sort of Hollywood scale and smaller budget and indie sort of projects. So that's really interesting that they're looking to India. Like, I wonder how that came about. And then I guess, they teamed up with Anurag Kashyap and who's the other guy? Vikramaditya Motwani or something. Who like those two are the guys behind Sacred Games. And obviously, you know, this started before Sacred Games was released.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that, I wonder how that came to be, that collaboration, before, like, their work in Sacred Games was even out.
True.
And it's interesting that this is similar to Sacred Games in a way. Like, you know, it kind of had the same, not the same premise, but I don't know, something about it was, like, similar. I mean, even Radhika Apte being in both and then being this ambitious...
I mean, she's just, you know, always thinking about how can I advance my career, you know, where's my loyalty.
Yeah, although it was cool that this time she was kind of in Sacred Games role more so. Like, I mean, she's like the protagonist. It's like her moral dilemma, like of how much to like do what's asked of her versus what she thinks is right. It'll be cool to see, like, an Indian Purge that really gets into, like, that really gets deeper into, like, social inequalities and stuff. I don't know if, you know, I don't know how well-received that will be. I think probably it would do better on Netflix, maybe, than, like, as a Bollywood release. But then it limits who gets to see it. So, yeah.
Is there, as far as you know, so when these are released on Netflix, is there just one Netflix or is there like Netflix Canada, Netflix India?
Yeah, there is a Netflix India. I don't know how different the content is on Netflix India versus here.
I guess we're not doing a deep three this time, but any, I guess, likes, dislikes stand out?
Well, I just wonder, like, why are near future dystopias? Is that's the plural of dystopia?
Dystopium? No, I'm just Yeah, I think dystopias.
Like, why is there, like, 80s and 90s technology? Like, why... why do they, like, lose their technical prowess moving into this, like, authoritarian... era? I don't know, it's weird because they have like literally like cassette tapes. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I wonder if they were like confusing it with apocalyptic sort of, you know how like when everything goes to hell, it's like you're rummaging through stuff and, oh, I found this old, you know, cassette tape recorder or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe just when they were writing it, they kind of...
Because yeah.
I don't know why you would necessarily go back in technology,
yeah.
but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that they would just, like, focus on getting better and better tech to, like, oppress and monitor and surveil people, right? But...
Yeah, they could have had a little bit of future tech, but I guess... Yeah, no, I think it was supposed to be near future. I mean, because I know back in the day, we thought now we would have flying cars and,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jetson type stuff. But it's still, I guess, the technology that amazes us is like mobile phones and
mm-hmm.
internet and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, do they even have internet then? They're using like walkie-talkies to like...
Yeah.
Communicate with each other. So I'm like, what happens to STEM programs?
Yeah, and the first I don't know if it's the first scene. I guess the first couple scenes where they have her driving her father. Actually, so her name, her character's name is Nida.
Yeah.
Her father's name, yeah, I don't think they named her Pops. I think she just gave him, like, the, affectionate nickname. Was it Baba?
Papa or Baba, I forget which.
Yeah. I don't even think he had a name.
Hmm.
But, yeah, so she was driving him somewhere. I don't know if she was trying to get him... out of the car. I don't know where they were going, actually, but he had smuggled some what does she call it, seditious literature.
Yeah.
Which I don't, and he was supposed to be like anti-national or something like that. I don't know, she called him like a kind of described him as being a terrorist, but I don't think he was a terrorist. I think he just had some things that didn't speak fondly
yeah,
about the country.
I mean, I guess that's the point, though, of there being
yeah.
they're being so like unreasonable and just wanting to suppress anything that's not like buying into their superiority.
Yeah. So just her naivete about the government's because they maybe she's just that indoctrinated. I don't know.
That's what it seems like. Yeah, that she's just like. Just super loyal to the state and
yeah, so I wasn't, I don't know if I was totally invested in that. Maybe if I give it another watch I could see it, but just initially watching it I was thinking like, wow, you would just totally, you know, well, let me not let me not give it away.
Maybe they didn't explain this. But maybe this is why it's, like, old school technology. Maybe it's because of what you said where, like, they don't want people to, like, think. And maybe they, like, purposely shut down the internet and stuff because they're like, oh, there's too much exposure to different ideas, to the world, to,
right.
like, communication.
Yeah.
So maybe that was, like, purposely all shut down. And that's why people have to, like, have these
books
right. and, like, old school things to,
gotcha.
Like, try and educate themselves and stuff.
That makes sense. Huh. You figure it out.
I still think they should have just, like, they should have just been a line about that or something.
That's true. Okay, so, any final thoughts? Oh, wait. So, it's supposed to be a horror movie. Did you feel scared?
There were times when it was a little bit creepy, and, I was like, oh no, what's gonna happen? There's like build up, but then like it was disappointing what came next.
Yeah.
Like some CGI face or something.
Yeah,
like,
that's actually the part in the trailer.
Okay,
the trailer.
Yeah. So yeah, so if they gave away this, you know, the supposedly scary parts in the trailer, then yeah, I don't think it's a really I don't think it's a horror film or
yeah.
series or whatever. It's more, I guess, like a thriller, but yeah.
I think they should have kept it at that. I think it was most effective on that level. Because I felt some tension, you know, like when Ali Said was whispering in people's ear and they were feeling guilty about whatever they had done, and they start bugging out and, you know, turning on each other and all that stuff. I thought that aspect was more effective than, you know, him like turning around and being like CGI goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I think there's probably places that they could have maybe drawn things out more, and like maybe they could have had a fourth episode, because I feel like the third episode was kind of rushed with like having a bunch of reveals in it, because the first two were kind of slower, and then I was surprised because we're like, how many episodes are there? And then we're like, what, there's only one more?
Right.
So they could have, I feel, drawn it out more and had more scary stuff. And I guess I don't think this is much of a spoiler, but there's a part where there's like two Radhikas. I won't say how, but there's like a duplicate Radhika. So I feel like that maybe that could have been a cliffhanger to end one episode, and then it could have started out like we're wondering why there's like these two Radhikas. I'm excited that there is this potential for like Indian horror slash thriller slash whatever it is. I mean, movies like Get Out, Black Klansman, if there could be that kind of quality of cinema brought to India, and then really digging into Indian social fabric, hopefully there'll be the right types of people collaborating to make that happen, because I don't know if I necessarily trust like Anurag Kashyap and whoever to like, I don't know, bring the right sensitivity to that sort of thing. But yeah, it's exciting to know that there could really be like Indian social thrillers too.
Yeah. Okay. So moving on to Geats. There really wasn't much in the way of music or soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm just remembering like metallic sort of like purged type of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really remember too much about the score. Aside from that,
yeah, just unnerving sound effects, like you're saying, metallic sounding electronica and thuds and distorted sounds. Yeah, nothing really memorable, but I think they served their purpose and sort of helped to build up the tension. And overall, I guess, yeah, it served its purpose, but. Actually, even in Purge and Get Out, I don't think the music was...
Yeah, the only thing I remember about Get Out is the Childish Gambino song at the beginning, and that totally worked as the film opened up. The Stay Woke.
Yeah, I'm blanking on that one. The only song I remember is sort of the old-timey... creepy music that was playing in the car.
Kind of music or whatever. And then in The Purge, Election Year, I remember the Miley Cyrus song, Party in the USA. Oh,
yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
I think they did some interesting stuff with music, actually, in the latest Purge movie, too. I don't remember specific songs, but I think the premise, like, it just makes the song creepy, too, to put it in that context. So,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for Ghoul, not really anything. Even the theme song is just some sort of unnerving...
Is that intro kind of Sacred Games-like, too?
A little bit. It's whole... like a distorted violin, or I don't really know what it is, but yeah.
So our coworker suggested watching... I can't remember what he suggested watching. One of the Blumhouse projects.
Oh, it's also Blumhouse.
Oh, Sharp Objects. Yeah, that's also from Blumhouse. I didn't know that until actually I just saw this on Wikipedia. I was like, oh, that's Sharp Objects was recommended to us. So let's watch that and then see what we think, knowing now that it's part of this Blumhouse family. And there's something else. Oh yeah, I wanted to watch the newest Childish Gambino video. I haven't seen it yet, but apparently there's been some buzz about that on Twitter today. So we can watch that. Britney's
having a pretty good 2018.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for this episode. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, at Deets and Geets. We're also on iTunes, SoundCloud, Facebook. Where else are we?
That's all I can think of. But yeah, just search Deets and Geets and you're sure to find us.
Yeah. We're one of a kind.
Club in my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls not around me. It's definitely.